Would you open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter? Hopefully this will be the last lesson on this subject. I've been living with this passage of Scripture for 3 or 4 months, and I'd like to not get it out of my mind, but get it off my shoulders this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to read verse number 10. We've read it before and started there before, but let's start there again. Wherefore the rather brethren and sisters, everybody, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And here's, I like this, I'm stuck on this. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. You can be seated. I left my 7 mil at home. When I was a kid, there used to be a special song that people would sing, and they would say, "I'll be so glad if I can only make it in." And they would emphasize, "I'll be so glad if I can only make it in." Like you was going to go squeaking through, you know, just barely slide under the gate into heaven. Well, that's not what I read in the Bible. It says an abundant entrance. Hallelujah. So my song would always be, sweeping through the gates, sweeping through the gates by the blood of Calvary's Lamb, washed from every sin I am. Hallelujah. I'll go sweeping through the gates. And so I'm looking for that abundant entrance. I'm not going to be satisfied. I mean, I'll be glad to make it, but I just don't think I'll be satisfied to barely make it. Somebody said, "Get in by the skin of your teeth." Well, there's not any skin on your teeth. It just there's trouble. This morning I was in prayer and in meditating on this lesson and this service this morning. I'd like to say I love everybody here. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. And I certainly want to be able to edify. That means to build up. We're not in the tearing down business. We're in the building up business. Praise God. And I should have known this all along, but it came to me in prayer this morning in meditation on the Word of the Lord. Most of us in this church, most of us that are here this morning and those that will come in later, most have lived longer in sin than we've lived for God. Thank God the countdown, the balance is shifting because you're still here. Amen. And consequently, we have absorbed far more of the world's ways and thinking than we realize. We've absorbed it. And so the ways of the world have been reinforced by our exposure to media. It's various things, all kinds of media. There's a printed media. There's a audio media. And there's the visual media that's in the world today. And I believe you can all bear witness to me that the media reinforces by example the ungodly attitude of the world. And the Bible says we live in a crooked and a perverse generation. And so there's a book in the library you can, you'll have to special order it in. It's not here yet. That they'll bring it in. I know they will because I got it since I've been here. I'd read it, part of it before in California. this is statistical. This book was called, and this is not the thrust of my lesson. This is just something I've felt come to me right now. If you want to, you can check it out and read it. It's a secular book. It's not a religious book. It's secular. But it talks about my generation that I was raised in. And I happen to be a part of the generation. The name of the book is called I'll just paraphrase it. It's called Raised Up on Television. It's a secular book. It's not a religious person that wrote it. But in the thrust of that book is that media has done more to influence the morality, the philosophy, the values of life. It's called Growing Up on Television. That's it. It has done more to influence people's life than any other media thing in the world. Now, the Lord's power is to influence us. It's to transform us. So this is the thought the Lord brought to me in prayer this morning. We have lived long, most of us have lived longer in sin than we've lived for God. Consequently, we've absorbed the ways, the thinking, and the attitudes of this world. The Lord gave us the Holy Ghost to transform our lives, to change our values to the values of God. And that is not always an easy transition, but we should be growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are constantly, through the media, whatever we read, listen to, or see, even by the commercials, the billboards you see as you drive down the street, the signs you see, everything is designed to corrupt our lives and to turn us away from the paths of righteousness. But we're not helpless in this situation. We read in this text today that, not today, but we've read it. I trust you've read 2 Peter, the first chapter. His divine nature, that's the Holy Ghost, has given unto us all things, everything that we need to live a life of godliness in this wicked world comes to us through the Holy Ghost. It's not just all about talking in tongues. It's about the empowerment. It's about God's divine nature, His very power, what He is that lives and moves in our life. I don't know. The one writer said we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I don't know if you realize just how well equipped we are to be what God wants us to be if we will walk in the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Now let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. I went to sleep last night praying, and I was asking God, now Lord, you know I got to stand before your people, your great people tomorrow, and you know exactly what is needed, and I ask for your help. And so I really felt, when I woke up this morning, in fact, while I was shaving, I was praying. And, I don't want to whack my face up, but anyway, I was praying about the service this morning. I didn't know who was going to be here, but I just felt God, I knew God was going to. And he brought this to me about we have absorbed far more of the world. We still have it in us. I say we, including me. We live in this world and we are influenced by what we hear and see in this world. And so we've lived in sin longer than we have been saved, most of us. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now listen to this. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that's our lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that is telling us that when we lived in sin, we were not just on our own. There was a spirit of wickedness that motivated us and directed us. We may not have been aware of it, but it was the Spirit that was doing that. Now, the Lord has come down and given us His Spirit. And that Spirit is to move us and influence us and to teach us and talk to us and be what we need to be. Now, our text today was, if these things be in us and abound, we will never fall. Now, it goes on to say, but he that lacks these things, the person, the child of God that doesn't have these things, is blind, can't see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So I don't want to be in that crew. I don't want to be on that team. I want to get as far away from that as I can. And so since we read here in Ephesians, there was a spirit of wickedness that was in control of our life. It doesn't mean we were demon-possessed. That's not it. It's just an external influence that channeled us. I'm going to tell you, you can't have the Holy Ghost and be demon-possessed. I'm telling you, you just can't do it. God and the devil don't live in the same house. Amen. There's no room for him. And the only way he can come into our life is if we allow it. And we're not going to do that, because everybody here today, you know, you want to live for God. That's why you're here. You want to make it to heaven. Our motivating factor is we want to do right. Now, we know there's external forces. That's what temptation is. It's an invitation to do wrong. We all get the invitation. Just pitch it in the trash. You know, I got some invitations from some places, you know. They sent it in the mail. It's from them. Trash. File 13, you know. I'm not interested. Amen. Now, if I open it up and say, well, maybe I could get it in. No. Trash. Now, we said that we lived in sin longer than we've been saved. There's a spirit of wickedness that endeavors to influence our lives to do wrong. Sometimes it's successful. Now we're in the church. We got God's Spirit working in our life. Greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. You're of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. If we'll just let the Holy Ghost be in charge, we'll be all right. Now, in Romans 12, everybody's familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. We beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your what? Pain in the neck. No, your reasonable service. And then it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so when we get, now, that you might prove, that means you might put to the test what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's not three levels of the will of God. Well, I just want to do that good will. I want to do the acceptable. No. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. It's not three levels of God's will. His will is good. It's acceptable. And it's perfect. And so, to do that, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so the question then comes, how are we renewed? How do we get renewed in our mind? If you're bored with what I'm fixing to say, I'm sorry, but I just feel so impelled by the Holy Ghost. There's a need, and that is, if our mind is going to be renewed, if we're going to get rid of that old worldly thinking that we've absorbed, if you were 20, 40 years old when you got the Holy Ghost, you've got 40 years of stuff to unlearn. Or 10 or 12 or however old you were, it was there. Now that we got the Holy Ghost, it's more than talking in tongues. It's a transformative thing. It's more than an emotional thing, though it's a good emotional thing. I'm an emotional person. But I'm going to tell you, There's more to it than that. It just gets right down in shoe leather. In fact, the grace of God, Titus said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Back 40 years ago. No, in this present world. In this present world. That's today. Now notice, I'm trying to catch up here. It says here, verse 3, according as divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Here it is, through the knowledge of Him. How do we get knowledge of Him? We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we're going to have knowledge, get knowledge of God from the Word of God. And so I'm on a crusade. We have got to be in the Word of God daily. You don't just, you know, I should tell you a story and I got to move on. There was old time days in Pentecost when evangelists came to town. They put them up usually at widow women's houses. Well, I'm glad we got away from that. I know Elijah stayed at the widow woman's house in Zarephath for 3 years during the famine, but that was Elijah. He's a different kind of guy. But there were many failures in the ministry because they put up evangelists at the widow woman's house and things happened that shouldn't have happened and so forth. But this account goes that this evangelist was staying with this older woman during the revival, and she wanted to impress the preacher how much she loved God, and she was constantly talking about how much she loved the Word of God. Oh, she just loved the Word of God. Oh, it was so precious to her. And so the pastor noticed that she had this nice tortoiseshell comb for hair, you know, comb. And she was really was kind of proud of that comb that she had. And so when the evangelist left, she had it on the dresser or on the counter in this bathroom on the sink. It was laying there. So he picked it up and she wasn't there. He picked it up and went into the living room where her Bible was, and he opened her Bible and stuck that comb in her Bible. She loved the Word of God so much. And after he left, she went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, I can't believe it. That preacher stole my comb. I can't believe it. That man of God, he's a man of God. He stole my comb. How could he do that?" And she spread it through the church, and it moved out through the community, and other churches in the area heard about it. And eventually the evangelist came back through that area, and he heard all these rumors that he had stolen this woman's tortoiseshell comb, and his reputation was tarnished because of it. And he went to church, and she said, "How, preacher, how could you steal my comb?" And he said, "My sister, you..." He went and got her Bible and opened it up. I said, "Here it is right here. You love the Word of God so much, I was sure you would find it." We've got to be in the Word of God daily. If we expect our minds to be renewed, it's wonderful preaching and teaching and all that. But there's got to be some, you know your lifestyle. Some are morning people, some are night people, some are in between. Oh, that's what your best time. Moms with children, dads have jobs, and every ladies have jobs these days. There's a lot of demands made on our life just to get by in life. But there's got to be a time and a place. You've got to figure it out in your life, and that's God's time, prayer, and the Word of God that you get in there. And it doesn't matter. It's not a race that you try to read 14 chapters a day. That would be wonderful. But it's more important that you read the Word of God slowly, that you absorb it, that you meditate on its words. If you don't know the meaning of the word, get a dictionary. That's what they're for. I believe every child of God that's serious about living for God, you need a good Bible dictionary, and you need a good concordance, and you need to just... If there's, you run across something you don't quite grasp, look up the words. See what they mean. It will. That's where the transformation comes. There are some books that are meant to be tasted. You know, a novel, you just taste it, you read it, you forget it, it's gone. But the Word of God is to be digested. The psalmist said he meditates in God's law day and night. Consequently, he's happy, he's blessed. And so, here we are. He's given us a lot. We are called. Every one of us are called to glory and virtue. Virtue in this first, it's mentioned twice in this passage, but the first time it's mentioned, it is used in the sense virtue is power. When the woman touched Jesus, the issue of blood, virtue went out of him, power went out of him. And so he's called us to live a life of power. We have power, the Holy Ghost power in our life. It changes things, it moves things in our life. And then it talks about glory. That is a reference to the Holy Ghost. This is a glorious walk. It's glory. Hallelujah. He's called us to that. We don't want to go up that. Now, this comes through the knowledge of God. Knowledge is obtained through the Word of God. It is obtained by knowing God's way through the work of the Spirit. Say the work of the Spirit. Now, let me give you what I mean here. This is what the Holy Ghost does in our life. John 16, let's read a few verses there, and then I'm going to go on to something else here. I felt this morning when I woke up, and I know it's for us today. John, the 16th chapter, verses 7, starting with verse number, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, the word Comforter is the Greek word parakletos. It is one called alongside to help. It's one called. Who's with us? The Lord. Okay. It says, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Has he sent him to you? You got the Holy Ghost this morning? You got the parakletos. He's right alongside to help. All right. Now, listen to this. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Ghost will reprove. It'll let us know what's sinful in our life. And it'll let us know what is right. What to do right. What not to do. What to do. Okay? Because there's a judgment to come. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. This is Jesus talking now. He says to his disciples, and as to us, we're his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Listen now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now that we read that, we think, well, it'll change the Trinitarian into oneness. It'll show people they need to get baptized in Jesus' name. That's true. But that's not all the truth. It's true, but there's more truth than just that. We park there. Bless God, I'm a woman, God, I'm a talk, tongue, talking, whole world, believe in heaven, and pray in Jesus' name, I've been Western. You know, that's all great. And it's true. But that's the starting point. We're to go on. Okay, now let's see what he says here. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Listen to this. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. He shall glorify who? Me, Jesus said. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Do you get that? It's a teacher. The Holy Ghost comes to lead, to guide, to enlighten, to empower. And so why? So that we can live the life that he wants us to live. Amen. Now, let's get back here, back into 1 Peter. Those things come together. Let's notice here in verse number 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. Now, corruption, you know, that's which causes rot. I've looked for a long time for a simple definition to convey what the writer meant about the world. We've all hear about the world, right? And John said, love not the world, neither things in the world, right? If any man love the world, it says all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. It's not of the Father. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but whoever does the will of the Father abides forever. That's 1 John 2. So I happened to find a note in my Bible, and it just clicked. And here's what, when we talk about the word world and worldliness, the word world is in the Greek word cosmos. It corresponds to the physical planet. But when the Bible uses the word world, it's not talking about the planet. Well, that's what I'm trying to say. What's it talking about? But the society of those in rebellion against God. When we preach against the world, we're preaching against the society, the ways of the society, the attitudes of the world that's in rebellion against God. Does that make sense? We're not to love that because it's a rebellion. So what's going to happen here? The Lord has delivered us from the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, notice what he said here. And beside this, the fact that we've been delivered, we've been baptized in Jesus' name, we got the Holy Ghost, that broke sin's dominion on our life. That's great, and I'm glad. But besides that, in addition to that, he says here, he has given, besides this, giving all diligence. Now, the word diligence, I got it underlined in my Bible. What does it mean? It means to hasten to do those things that are an earnestness. I misread it. It means to hasten to do things, to be earnest, to be zealous. And so we need to give diligence. We need to be excited about to add. Everybody say add. To add to your faith. Now, one day the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. How many's ever prayed for faith? Quit praying for faith. Brother Allred, you're carnal. No, I'm not. Open your Bible to Romans 12:3. Notice what he says here. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, let's don't be too impressed with ourselves here. But look at this next phrase. But think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You already have faith. You know why I know that? You're here. You're saved. You got baptized, for by grace are you saved through faith. You've been, right? You get what I'm saying? And so the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. You know what Jesus' answer was? He was really kind of rebuking. He said, if you just had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be plucked up and cast in the sea. You didn't doubt in your heart to do. He was saying, what do you need more faith? Just a little bitty bit of faith moves mountains. Now, some people have abandoned their faith. That's not us. We're here. There is the gift of faith, which is supernatural, super duper faith. Yeah, I'm praying for that. I don't mind telling you. I'm asking for that type of faith. But God has already equipped you. He's dealt you faith. It's the measure of faith. It's saving faith. Faith to obey. Faith to live right. All right, say praise the Lord. Oh, I'm almost done. Now, and so, we're to add to our faith. That's a fundamental thing. Virtue. Now, here's that word again. The word virtue, as used here, means moral purity. Remember, we lived in a world that's immoral. We lived in the world that anything goes. We lived in a world that's corrupt. Now, if you think that our world is worse than the Bible days, we say, well, it's worse today than what? No, it wasn't. Did you know in the city of Corinth they had a church there, the worldly church? It had 1,000 prostitutes, men and women. When they went to church, they had orgies. The Gnostics, which opposed the gospel, they believed that you should experience every kind of a feeling imaginable. No. No. Did you realize that in Israel, when they went astray, they worshipped Baal and Ashtoreth? You, all through the Old Testament, you read it. Baal was the god of fertility. They had the groves and altars to Baal. And when you say a grove, oh, this grove, it was a grove of trees, yes. But you know what they did under those grove of trees when they went to the altar of Baal? They fornicated. They committed adultery and fornication. Israel was constantly drawn into that. Anybody's ever heard of the guy Balaam? Balaam was asked to curse Israel. He couldn't do it, but he wanted the money, but he didn't. He couldn't. God wouldn't let him curse Israel. But you know what Balaam did? He knew that God was a holy God. And he told Barak, I can't curse what God has blessed, but I'll tell you what to do, and God will curse them. What are we going to do, Mr. Balaam? He said, you just have the young ladies go down by the riverside, and you get a bunch of them down there taking a bath in the creek, and those Israelis will come by, and they'll see them women taking baths in the creek. You know, that's what happened to David, you know. She wasn't in the creek. She was on the housetop. I guess she had a bathtub up there. I don't know. Anyway, what happened? 25,000 people fell into fornication because those women were down there. God wouldn't, the devil, Balaam couldn't curse them. But when they saw those women down there, they fell a-lusting and they committed fornication. And you know what happened? 25,000 people died. God wiped them out. Bam! It's called Baal Peor. Read it in your Bible. I think it's in the book of Numbers. Baal Peor. If you think that there's new thing, sexual revolution gone on in the United States, you've lost your mind. It's been in the world all the time.
Right, right.
And if you think as a child of God you're exempt from that, I'm telling you, the temptation is there. And so the Bible says when we come into this church, after we're baptized in Jesus' name and got the Holy Ghost, we're going to add to our faith, that saving faith. We are to work at it. We are to pray about it. We're to add. Everybody say add. We got to add it to our life, that quality of moral purity. We've got to understand. We've got to not only live it as ourselves, but as parents. We got teenagers in this world. They go to the school. I'm telling you, at public school, it is horrible. As Pinocchio said, temptation is everywhere. You didn't listen to that record, I did. Okay, so we're to add it to it. Add it. Everybody say add. Now, let me read you something here in 1 Thessalonians 4. I really feel compelled today, this morning, about it. Furthermore, everybody say furthermore. That means in addition to what he's already said. Furthermore, then we beseech you. Now, the word beseech means to entreat. Where we say, come on. We might today say, get a grip. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, he's not talking to sinners, he's not talking to the unsaved, and exhort you. That means say, come on, let's do right. Exhort, encourage you, do right. All right? What are we exhorting you by? By the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Did you know that it's the ministry's job to tell us what to do? He said here, as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So he's telling them how it is. Listen now. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That means to be set aside for holy use. That ye should abstain from fornication. What is fornication? A sexual relationship between two people that are not married. We call it shacking up. Or co-inhabiting. Or your significant other. Whatever you want to call it. I don't know of a nice word to use. He said to the saved. Why did he have to say that to these people? They lived in a world where they went to church and fornicated in church. It was part of their religion. And so he said, this is God's will that you, and your sanctification, that you abstain for fornication. Now, know this. That everyone, everybody say everyone, of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What's the vessel? Coke bottle? No. Us. This. We know we've got to possess it. We've got to get a hold of it. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said if we defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. Don't want that. So he said add that to our life. In other words, we've got to make sure we teach it to our teenagers, to our young people. We've got to live it before them. Every one of us can be vulnerable to that, but God's given us his power. So we want to add virtue to our life. Amen. And to virtue, we need to hurry up and get busy doing this, is what he said, diligence. That to virtue, we're going to add knowledge. This is knowledge of God. How can I know something about God? We experientially know God because we have the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever had God to talk to you? I mean, personally, in your prayer, or if you've been going down the road to do something, or you buy something, or be something, or whatever, and all of a sudden inside of you, it's like somebody said, whoa, 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 horses. We sing about it. Whoa! Now, my mind goes to horses whenever I hear that. I'm sorry. Anyway, what am I going to do? I got to know him. We add to our virtue knowledge. And when we got to know God's way. We read the Word of God. Some folks don't read the Word of God because it's quick and powerful and sharp. It gets right down where we're living. I know it does me. Sometimes I said, God, why'd you put that in there? Ouch. I don't like that, Lord. We said, straighten up and fly right. You understand? The Word of God is a reprover. It also is a director. It's an empowerer. And so the more, when we add to faith, virtue, to virtue, these are words in the series. These are cumulative. It's one layer on top of another. And when we mention this here, if we do add these things, we will never back. But if we don't them, we'll surely backslide. And so it's something to do. So we add to faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-government. Temperance is self-control. I had to learn self-control. I'm still working on it. I don't know. I guess I'm cursed. I'm pretty quick to respond sometimes. And it's not always the smoothest words. I mean, not vulgarity, but I don't necessarily want to have a quick wit. I have to ask the Lord, deliver me from perverse lips. Don't let Brother Fisher, you're laughing, you know. Hey, you too, brother. We know in a moment. And so temperance. You know, we can get swept up emotionally and we can be in a jam. You know, like Flip Wilson said, the devil made me buy that dress. No, he didn't. Temperance. You understand? It's self-control. And the Lord wants to control our spirits, to teach us to learn. You say, oh, no, I can't help it. No, the Bible said we know the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We know how to learn temperance. And to temperance, patience. You know, the lady was praying and said, God, I want patience. And I want it right now. Really, patience in the Bible means this: to bear up under difficulty without complaining. Nobody in here ever complains. Well, we need to add to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. God, that word godliness means God likeness. We are to be like Him. And the only way we can be like Him is to know Him. And to, it all comes back to this right here. Amen. And to godliness, what did he say next? Brotherly kindness. Ephesians says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Sometimes we're not too kind with each other. And we have to develop, we have to add that. We got to work at it. We need to work at those things. Now, here it is. For if these things be in you abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be barren. I don't want to be spiritually sterile. I don't want to be unfruitful. I don't want to be like the fig tree Jesus cursed. I want to be productive. And the fruit he's talking about is the fruit or the works of righteousness, living a right life. Now, but listen to this, and I think I'll close with this right here. One more verse after that. But he that lacks these things, the brother or sister that does not add these things to his life, you may not even know you needed to add them. Just, well, I'm saved, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. But we've got to do these things. But he that lacks these things is blind. Now, the word blind there means willingly blind. You ever talk to people and say, I just can't see it. I just can't see it. They can't see it because they're blind. 2 Corinthians says, the natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They are spiritually written and spiritually discerned. But if we will add these things to our life, we won't be blind. Blind lead the blind, they fall in the ditch. We won't be blind. We'll know how to go. And he says, and they say, cannot see afar off. That means they are short-sighted and have forgotten that he was purged from his sins. And so what we want to do here, and I'm closing with this, and I think this load is lifting. I know it's lifting off my shoulder right now. It's on yours, but it's off of mine. All right. Praise God. And here's Paul's prayer. And this I pray, that you may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. Now, judgment means the ability to make good decisions. Okay? That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I want to approve things that are excellent. I don't want the world in my life. Yes, the influence has been in my life a long time, and yours. But the Holy Ghost will give us the power to approve excellent things. Come on, whoever's playing the piano, I'm trying to get down here. Praise God. Otherwise, I hit the button and it rewinds. But let's stand this morning. I believe I mentioned the last time we taught on this subject, this word, a sincere, it means without wax. It comes from the Greek word with elikrinase. It had to do with Greek potters. Ethical potters, when they made a vessel, they held it up to the sunlight to check it for cracks. And if it had no cracks, they would say elikrinase, tested in the sunlight and found to be pure. But unethical potters, if they saw cracks, they would fill it with wax, paint over it. And when the person bought the pot or the vessel, it leaked. It broke. We want to approve those things that are excellent in our life. We want God to say when He looks at our life, test it in the sunlight and found to be pure. Hallelujah. I want to abound. Hallelujah. I don't want to ever fall. So I want to work at adding these things to my life. And they're added through prayer and the word of the Lord. Praise God. Can you just love Him today that He is divine?